Well, you make your way back up there. Can I tell them that you used to play in a jazz band? Would anybody be surprised? You play on cruise ships too, right?
You have to use the side door.
No. No. And Mary Lisa, you just prayed my sermon. But like last week, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to push right on ahead. I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read from the Message Bible because it doesn't translate the words exactly, but it does translate the ideas. So I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. But before I do, let's keep silence, prepare our hearts to hear God's word. The Word of God. One day people were standing around talking about the temple, remarking how beautiful it was, the splendor of its stonework and memorial gifts. Jesus said, "All this you're admiring so much, the time is coming when every stone in that building will end up in a heap of rubble." They asked him, "Teacher, when is this going to happen? What clue will we get that it's about to take place?" He said, "Watch out for the doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming I'm the one or the end is near. Don't fall for any of that. When you hear of wars and uprisings, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history and no sign of the end." He went on, "Nation will fight against nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Huge earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. You'll think at times that the very sky is falling. But before any of this happens, they'll arrest you, hunt you down, drag you to court, jail. It will go from bad to worse. Dog eat dog, everyone at your throat because you carry my name. You'll end up on the witness stand, called to testify. Make up your mind right now not to worry about it. I'll give you the words and wisdom that will reduce all your accusers to stammers and stutters. You'll even be turned in by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. Some of you will be killed. There's no telling who will hate you because of me. Even so, every detail of your body and soul, even the hairs of your head, are in my care. Nothing of you will be lost. Stay with it. That's what's required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You will be saved." Brothers and sisters, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Look, that text is going to make no sense unless you understand the context. And Luke tells us right from the beginning, the disciples were impressed with the institutional permanence, the promise, the security of the temple. After all, it had been built 900 years ago by Solomon. Yes, it was destroyed in 586, but it was built back again. And Herod the Great, just a few short years before this, had built a huge retaining wall to make the Temple Mount even larger and built onto the temple. It really wasn't Solomon's temple anymore. It was Herod the Great had built it. And it had stood now for a long time. It symbolized permanence, God's presence with Israel. The permanence, security, wealth, identity. Jesus says, "You see all this? It's an illusion. It cannot last and it will not protect you. The temple will be destroyed along with the economic system that supports it. Everything you see will be gone." And it was true. In 40 short years, the temple was destroyed. It was the end of Israel as we knew it then. The disciples are preoccupied. If the temple destroyed, that means the end of the world. When will it come and how will we know? And Jesus basically tells them, "I'm going to tell you about the nature of life and how to live well. I'm not going to tell you about the end. I'm going to tell you about how the world is and how to live well in it." If you look at your inserts, bulletin inserts, you'll see that Jesus is on the world we live in. It's politically, financially instable or unstable and in conflict all the time. Natural disasters, extraordinary events happen all the time. Terrifying events happen all the time. Portends of future doom all the time. Persecution, injustice, betrayal by friends and family. Jesus is saying basically two things here. He isn't giving us a cryptic kind of reference for understanding or graphing the end of time so that we can know and other people can't know. That's not what's going on here. These are not just end of time events. They are everyday, all the time events. They are these events, the water we swim in. Every human system apart from God, political, economic, educational, family, cannot stand in the end. Those systems are all unstable. It's not a matter of belief on my part. It's a matter of history. All you have to do is look at the facts. Nations rise and pass away. Political systems rise and pass away. Financial systems rise and pass away. Nothing in this life is permanent. I think one of the most oxymoronic phrases I know of is this. If present trends continue. Well, present trends don't ever continue, do they? Present trends will be replaced by future trends, and present trends replaced previous trends. It's all in a state of flux all the time. And what that does for us or to us is make us feel insecure, anxious, apprehensive. I remember in the church I had served before, we had a monthly lunch for retired pastors. And they would say how glad they were that they were retired, that things were going from bad to worse, hell in a handbasket. And I just quit going after a while. I just didn't need any more of that. But it's how people feel about the world around us. It's always falling apart, always changing, never stable. And it makes us anxious and apprehensive. And that's where advertisers come in. They promise us security and happiness if we'll just buy. And they leave us empty. I want to tell you about just how anxious the world is. Last Saturday, I was in Charleston at Cindy's house, and we got up and had some coffee, and we did something we never, ever do. We turned on the TV and watched Saturday morning. How bad can it be on a Saturday morning? Well, the very first thing we saw was a man, and they have video of it from a security camera. He's running across the street in Los Angeles. Three lanes this way, three lanes that way. And he's kind of jogging, and then he walks, and then he jogs, and he's trying to get through the cars, kind of like Frogger. You remember that game? Only the last two lanes, it just so happened that there were two cars street racing. He got by the first one, but the second one hit him and killed him. And they show you the video right up to the moment when the car hits him, and then they rewind and show it to you in slow motion. And then they're still talking, so they rewind and show it again. I counted four times that they showed us that video, just a few seconds every time. And then they moved on to the next news item. It was a boy on a zip line in an indoor high ropes kind of course. Only the people who had put him on the zip line, he was about 11 years old, forgot to secure the harness to the wire, so that at the end he fell 20 feet to concrete pavement. This is news. They showed us over and over again, slow motion, right up to the moment he fell, and then they described his injuries in detail. And then they said, stay tuned, because after this commercial break, we're going to tell you what's in your refrigerator that can kill you, and we're going to tell you about a new strain of flu that's on the way this fall. Well, heck, you talk about anxious. And then the commercials came on. Do you have enough insurance? Are you getting the right nutrition? Is the car you're driving safe enough? Are you using the right toothpaste? And then the shows come on. I turned the whole thing off. You know, you kind of monitor your emotions. I monitor my emotions. What am I feeling? I was feeling anxious. That's news? Are you kidding me? The whole world is like that, anxious. There's a new trend in advertising. I like this. My wife and I were looking up advertising. It's called spiritual branding. And they borrow spiritual language to advertise things, products, so that you will feel more secure in the world. They're aware that we're highly anxious, and they want to believe that they can make our lives better through products they sell, that our lives will be more stable, that we'll be happier, healthier, and spiritually more alive. One media critic put it this way: if consumerism is the religion of our day, then advertising is the literature and the high priest. In other words, we turn to products, pop culture for answers to our problems, and they're glad to sell them to us. This is what one advertising executive said: we used to attempt to buy real estate in their minds. Now I'm going for real estate in their souls. We want them to find meaning in the stuff we sell them, a purpose for their lives. Let me give you an example. This is the words to the ad: harness the healing power of nature. Rediscover how beauty comes from within. Can you guess what the product is? It's shampoo. And you know what the product is called? Abba. Is that just sick? It just makes me sick inside. We're anxious, nervous, driven people searching for immediate, quick answers and relief from our pain. One of my favorite books, I've read it several times, is The Failure of Nerve. It's written by Edwin Freeman. It's about leadership in America. And the basic premise of the book is that we are a highly anxious people. And highly anxious people can't be led because they have no patience or tolerance for anything that isn't immediate relief or black and white answers. Think about our last presidential election. Shrill versus smug. Both promise to deliver what both know they can't and neither does. And we buy in. Another one of my favorite books is A Distant Mirror. It was written about 20 or 30 years ago by Barbara Tuchman. A Distant Mirror is the 13th century when the Black Plague flourished throughout the world and maybe a third of mankind was killed. Cities were left desolate, empty, towns, wars, rumors of war all through Europe, failure of economic systems, failure of the political systems. She saw that as a distant mirror for the 20th century, and the way the people responded then, the way the people respond today in our highly anxious society. They had no tolerance or patience for long-term answers or ambiguity. They wanted results, quick results. They wanted easy answers now. They wanted relief from their pain. Easy answers. Relief from anxiety. We live in a highly anxious age. Remember the housing bubble of 06, 07, 08? Banks were toppled. If the government hadn't intervened, there was an economic tremor throughout the whole economic system. The Western economic system teetered on the brink. It's no different today than it ever has been. The world in Jesus' day was highly unstable. Political, the illusion of permanence, the Roman Empire was already collapsing. Droughts, famines, earthquakes, some things never change. So we live in a highly anxious time. There is little permanence. There's a lot of uncertainty. And we demand instant answers, easy technical answers to our problems. We want solutions now. We want relief. How do you live in a time like that? That's what Jesus' words were about. You can see on the bulletin insert, I literally gave you in the first part of each of those, how when Jesus says how to live, the literal Greek, how it comes across, and I want to talk a little bit about that. First, Jesus says, don't be deceived, don't be deluded by what you see or hear. Another way of putting it is, don't be deceived by what appears to be. In other words, friends, wake up. Wake up. The final four for the football, college football, it's not important. I know it seems important. Today's news will be replaced by tomorrow's news. It's not important. Who wins Voice or American Voice or America, it's not important. You won't remember next week who won this week, and you won't care either. Proclamations about climate change, the economy, population problems, economic problems, they change daily. It's not that important. Wake up. Look up. Look beyond what's happening right now to what really is. Be alert. That's the first thing that Jesus says. And then second, literally, don't become followers. Don't become partisans. Don't follow their way of life. In other words, keep your orientation towards the sovereign goodness and grace of God. Whose voice do you listen to? The news? Popular culture? Ads? Facebook? Good Lord, I hope not. Whose voice are you listening to, and what are you focused on? What are you looking at? Have you ever heard of target fixation? When I was learning to ride a motorcycle, they told us, don't ever look at what you don't want to hit. Does that make sense? Don't look at what you don't want to hit. Look at where you want to go. Look at where you're headed. So if you're going around a mountain turn and you're headed this way, and it turns out you look your head back that way, and guess what? The bike will follow right along. But if you come around a corner and there's roadkill or there's something in the road and you look at it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to hit it. Don't look at what you don't want to focus on. Focus on what you want to see, what you need to see. And that's what I mean by an orientation, keeping your orientation on a good and sovereign God. Because if you look around, you'll be as confused and anxious as everybody else. Jesus says, don't be terrified by what is happening. And that phrase comes up really twice, not to be terrified. Don't fear what the prophets say. Don't fear what they fear. Don't call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Trust me. In other words, trust God and don't be anxious like everybody else. And let me tell you what the reward for being a non-anxious presence is. People resent it. People want you to be as anxious and worried and troubled about what they're anxious and worried and troubled about as they are, because it's the only way they know you care. They want you to be anxious too. You don't win any friends by being non-anxious. Remember Jesus in the boat with his disciples, and they wake him up, and what do they say? Don't you care that we're about to drown? They want him to be as anxious as they are. You know what he did, don't you? He stood up and told the wind and waves to be still and quiet. And their question to him was, don't you care? And his question, he turns to them and asks a return question. Where's your faith? What are you looking at? The wind or the waves? Or do you trust me? Don't be afraid. Trust me. Look at me. Jesus and Peter and the waves. When Peter lost his courage is when he began to look at the wind and the waves. He was doing fine right up to the moment he took his eyes off Jesus. What are you looking at? What are you focused on? Keep your trust in God. And not in the things you see around them, because they're always changing. They're always passing away. And that kind of living requires discipline. And it was in Mary Lisa's prayer. This contentment, this living with what is and trusting God requires discipline. It requires practice. It's a lifetime's work. And then he tells them to be determined beforehand, not to rehearse how you'll defend yourself or what you'll say. Don't worry about what is going to happen in the future or how you can protect yourself, because guess what? You're not omniscient. You don't know what's going to happen, and you're not omnipotent. You couldn't stop it from happening or defend yourself from it anyway. If you can trust God in the present, can't you trust him also for the future? Learn to trust. Don't live by sight, because what you're seeing is passing away all the time. It's replaced by tomorrow's anxieties. And finally, I love the last words, what they literally mean in Greek. Be patient in waiting, and you will master your life. Be patient in waiting, and you will master your life. The whole goal here is to move from anxious living to assured living, from chronic anxiety to contentment, like Mary Lisa prayed. It's not the work of a moment or a day or a week or a year. It requires patience. It requires silencing the voices that are out there and listening to God's voice. It requires a concentration and a focus, not on what's passing in front of you all the time, not the distractions, but what's real and permanent and lasting. It's going to be lonely work, because the world is chasing the tinsel and the bright lights and the bright sounds of the world that are always changing. It's a battle within. It's a battle with letting go and trusting God. But it's a battle worth fighting. And you'll save your life by trusting Him. And no other way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that life doesn't consist in what we see or hear every day, that it's an illusion, that it's always passing away, but that You are from everlasting to everlasting. Your grace, Your goodness, the things that Mary Lisa prayed about, gave thanks for, those things are real, permanent, and they are the things that keep us. Keep us in Your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Picture a hostile world, or a world that's anxious and troubled, a world that's voices yammer back and forth, and then picture